Hey everyone, Eric here with another episode of the Sandstorm Podcast. Today, we're diving into a story that, frankly, left me stunned. It's a tale of deception, betrayal, and the disturbing realization that sometimes the enemies of America aren't just lurking in the shadows overseas, but walking among us, even rising to the highest echelons of power. The man at the center of this scandal is Victor Manuel Rocha, a former U.S. ambassador who, on the surface, embodied the American dream. Born in Colombia, Rocha immigrated to the States as a young boy, growing up in the tough streets of Harlem. Through hard work and determination, he earned scholarships to elite schools like Yale and Harvard, eventually carving out an impressive career in the State Department. Sounds like an inspiring story, right? Well, buckle up because this tale is about to take a dark turn. You see, behind closed doors, Victor Rocha was living a double life. For over four decades, while swearing an oath to serve and protect the United States, he was secretly working as an agent for one of our longest-standing adversaries, Cuba. That's right, an American ambassador was a spy for the Cuban government. Let that sink in for a moment. The scope of Rocha's betrayal is staggering. With top-secret security clearances, he had access to highly sensitive information on U.S. foreign policy, covert programs, and God knows what else. And he was funneling these secrets straight to Havana, aiding a regime that has long sought to undermine American interests and security. It's a breach of trust that cuts deep, shaking the very foundations of our diplomatic corps and intelligence community. As the details of this case continue to unfold, I can't help but wrestle with some uncomfortable questions. How could someone like Rocha, who took the oath of citizenship and pledged loyalty to America, turn around and stab us in the back? What could possibly motivate a person to engage in such a profound and prolonged act of treason? Was it ideological fervor, a resentment towards the country that gave him so much, or simply the thrill of leading a secret life? These are the kind of thorny, unsettling issues we'll be grappling with today. Because the Rocha affair isn't just about one man's duplicity, it's a window into the complex web of espionage, the vulnerabilities in our national security apparatus, and the disturbing reality that sometimes the greatest threats to America come from within. Let's start by painting a fuller picture of Victor Rocha and his rise through the ranks of power. On paper, his story reads like a classic immigrant success tale. A kid from the streets of Harlem who, through smarts and grit, earned a place in the halls of Ivy. Born in Colombia, Rocha came to New York at the tender age of 10 after losing his father. He and his mother settled in with family in Harlem, relying on food stamps and mom's long hours at a sweatshop to get by. But young Victor had bigger dreams. In 1965, a scholarship to the prestigious Taft School in Connecticut opened up a whole new world of opportunity. But even as he ascended the rungs of the American meritocracy, Yale, Harvard, Georgetown, Rocha encountered bias and discrimination along the way. According to an alumni magazine profile, he nearly took his own life after a close friend refused to room with him because of his skin color. One has to wonder how these early experiences of racism in America's elite institutions may have planted the seeds of alienation and resentment. Still, Rocha soldiered on, eventually joining the State Department, where his career would be marked by steady advancement and growing influence. There were stints across Latin America, a posting in Havana, an advisory role at the U.S. Southern Command, and even a plum White House job on the National Security Council during the Clinton years. His 20-year diplomatic career culminated in an ambassadorship to Bolivia under George W. Bush. But all the while, Rocha was harboring an astonishing secret. It's 1973 in Chile, and a young Victor Rocha, fresh out of Yale, is approached by agents from Cuba's spy agency. Salvador Allende, the country's socialist president and friend of Fidel Castro, had just been ousted in a U.S.-backed coup. And in this climate of Cold War intrigue and ideological ferment, the charismatic and ambitious Rocha is recruited to become a secret asset for Cuba. So begins a double life that would span over 40 years. Dramatic pause, 40 years. Let that timeline sink in. While Rocha was climbing the ranks of the State Department, rubbing shoulders with dignitaries and presidents, he was also feeding a steady stream of classified information back to his handlers in Havana. The depth of his betrayal is just breathtaking. Now, you might be wondering, how did he get away with it for so long? I mean, this guy wasn't just a low-level bureaucrat. He held senior positions at the NSC, served as ambassador to Bolivia, all while holding top-secret clearances. Didn't anyone suspect anything? Well, according to court documents, Rocha was a master of deception. He crafted a cover story of being a staunch anti-communist, even privately disparaging Cuba, as he secretly worked on their behalf. In recent years, he even reinvented himself as an over-the-top Donald Trump guy, in the words of a former colleague. Talk about leading a double life. And here's the kicker. Rocha was apparently still meeting with his Cuban handlers as recently as 2017. The man was in his 70s, long retired from government service, and yet he was still actively betraying his country, flying down to the Dominican Republic under his U.S. passport, then to Panama via a Dominican one, all to slip into Havana for clandestine meetings. The sheer audacity is just mind-boggling. But perhaps the most disturbing part of this whole affair is the potential scope of the damage. Given his postings and clearances, Rocha had access to incredibly sensitive information about U.S. policy towards Cuba and Latin America. We're talking detailed knowledge of covert ops, CIA assets, diplomatic strategies, the kind of stuff that could seriously undermine our national interests if leaked to an adversary government. And it gets worse. Voice lowers ominously in conversations with an undercover FBI agent he thought was a Cuban spy. Rocha allegedly bragged that the information he provided was more than a grand slam. He even referred to the U.S. as the enemy. The arrogance, the utter betrayal of the nation that gave him so much, it's just staggering. But this isn't just a story about one bad apple. No, the Rocha affair reveals something much more troubling, a gaping vulnerability in our national security system. I mean, if a guy like this can rise to the highest ranks of the diplomatic corps, all while working for a hostile foreign power, then something is seriously broken. Counterintelligence experts are already calling this one of the longest-running and most damaging penetrations of the U.S. government by an enemy agent, and it raises haunting questions. How many more Rochas are out there burrowing into our institutions, leading double lives in service of our adversaries? How much damage have they already done? You know, as shocking as the details of this case are, in some ways it forces us to confront an uncomfortable truth. Sometimes the greatest threats to our nation don't come from shadowy figures abroad, but from the people we entrust, the ones who swear an oath to protect and serve. It's a chilling reminder that betrayal can wear many masks, that the enemy is not always obvious or easy to detect. As I've been following the twists and turns of the Rocha saga, I keep coming back to one gnawing question. Why? What could drive a man to betray his country, his colleagues, his own sense of integrity for so many years? Of course, the easy answer is ideology, right? A fervent belief in communism, a misplaced loyalty to the Castro regime, but somehow that feels too simple, too neat. In my experience, human motivations are rarely so straightforward. I keep thinking back to those early experiences of racism and alienation that Rocha faced, the discrimination at elite schools, the isolation of being an ambitious immigrant, of color in the halls of power. Is it possible that somewhere along the line, his faith in the American dream soured, that deep down he never quite felt fully accepted by the country he served? Or maybe after decades of living a double life, the lines between his identities began to blur, engaging in a secret existence, always on guard, never able to be fully authentic with anyone? That has to take a psychological toll. Perhaps in some strange way, betrayal became a twisted form of liberation, a perverse source of power and control. You know, cases like this often make me think of the long and sordid history of treason, going all the way back to Benedict Arnold and the Revolutionary War. It's a stark reminder that insider threats and betrayal have been with us since the very founding of our nation, and it never gets any less shocking or demoralizing. But the Rocha affair also highlights the unique challenges of the modern age. In an era of globalization, the internet, and increasingly porous borders, the lines between nations, allegiances, and identities are both blurrier than ever. And as this case shows, our adversaries are all too eager to exploit those blurred lines. Which brings us to the Cuban threat. For years, there's been a tendency in intelligence circles to dismiss Cuba as a second-tier player, a has-been power riding on fumes of revolutionary bravado. But the Rocha case is a sobering reminder that Havana remains a serious threat in terms of espionage and subversion. Despite our relative size difference, Cuba has proven to be a wily adversary, consistently punching above its weight in the spy game. From the Anamontes fiasco to the Myers Husband-Wife Act, Cuban moles have burrowed deep into the heart of American power over the decades. The fact that someone as highly placed as Rocha could operate undetected for so long, that's a big red flag. So where do we go from here? Well, for starters, we need to get to the bottom of how this could have happened. That means a top-to-bottom review of our background check and security clearance procedures. It means increasing resources and training for counterintelligence across all agencies. And it means acknowledging that the threat of insider betrayal is not some relic of the Cold War, but an urgent challenge of the present day. But beyond the nuts and bolts of security protocols, I think that this case demands something deeper from us as a society. It requires some hard, honest conversations about what we stand for as a nation, about the meaning of loyalty and service, integrity and honor. If there's one thing I know about Americans, it's that we are a resilient people. We've weathered betrayals and challenges before, and we've always come out stronger on the other side. Victor Rocha may have deceived his country and his colleagues, but he cannot shake our bedrock faith in the principles we hold dear. And those principles, freedom, justice, opportunity, are more than just lofty words. They are the heart and soul of the American experiment. They are the glue that binds us together as a people across all our differences and divides. So even as we grapple with the disturbing implications of this case, let us never lose sight of that deeper truth. Let us use this moment not just to patch up our security flaws, but to reaffirm our most cherished values. For it is in our ideals, not our intelligence, that America's true strength resides. Well, folks, that's all I've got for you today on the Victor Rocha affair. Heavy stuff, I know. But these are the kind of hard conversations we have to have if we want to protect our nation and our values moving forward. Before I go, just a few friendly reminders. Be sure to check out sandstormdaily.com for more in-depth coverage of the stories that matter most. We're also on Facebook at Sandstorm Daily, and of course, you can always get my latest hot takes on X at Real Eric Cochran. Till next time, stay strong, stay vigilant, and keep those Liberty Bells ringing loud and clear. This is Eric for the Sandstorm Podcast. Thanks for weathering the storm with me.